Chào mừng các bạn đến với CEO Lab. Mình là Lê Diệp Kiều Trang, là doanh nhân khởi nghiệp, là nhà đầu tư và là người tin rằng việc học hỏi cũng như phát triển bản thân là một hành trình suốt đời. Các bạn đang theo dõi loạt bài về quốc gia khởi nghiệp Israel. Chúng ta đã đi qua 4 số, tìm hiểu về Viện Nghiên cứu Weizmann Institute of Science, về vị tổng thống lập quốc của Israel. Số thứ 2, chúng ta cùng tìm hiểu về hệ thống giáo dục của người Do Thái. Số thứ 3, tìm hiểu về giá trị gia đình. Và số vừa rồi, số thứ 4, chúng ta tìm hiểu về giá trị cộng đồng của người Do Thái. Trong số lần này, số thứ 5, mình xin dành trọn một số để chia sẻ với các bạn về những người phụ nữ Do Thái, những điều mà mình học hỏi từ họ. Và họ chính là một nguồn cảm hứng vô tận dành cho mình và hy vọng cũng sẽ là nguồn cảm hứng vô tận dành cho các bạn nữ khác.
Khi tham dự các buổi lễ cầu nguyện ở Synagogue Do Thái mỗi chiều thứ 6, đàn ông Do Thái sẽ cầu nguyện trong thánh đường chính ở tầng dưới và phụ nữ sẽ cầu nguyện trên tầng lửng ở phía trên của thánh đường. Điều này cho mình một cảm giác là văn hóa Do Thái có vẻ như phân biệt giới tính khá nặng, giống như cách mà ở một số nơi đàn ông ăn chiếu trên, đàn bà và trẻ con ăn ở chiếu dưới. Tuy nhiên, mình lại quan sát thấy rằng phụ nữ Do Thái là những người rất mạnh dạn. Trong buổi ăn tối Shabbat ở nhà, người vợ, người mẹ hay con gái trong gia đình đều tham gia bàn luận, thậm chí tranh cãi, đưa ra quan điểm, chính kiến của mình về các vấn đề xã hội rất sôi nổi, thẳng thắn. Một điều đặc biệt nữa ở Israel đó là cả thanh niên nam và nữ đến tuổi 18 khi hoàn thành xong trung học đều bắt buộc phải tham gia quân đội. Nam sẽ tham gia quân đội 3 năm và nữ 2 năm. Hình ảnh các bạn nữ mặc trẻ măng, tay cầm súng đi trên đường phố cũng như các phương tiện công cộng để giữ gìn an ninh, bảo vệ tổ quốc là hình ảnh rất thường thấy ở Israel và đối với mình để lại rất nhiều ấn tượng sâu sắc.
So women are invited into all the prayer and all the, but like over the holiday, I didn't go to synagogue 3 times a day like my husband did because I'm busy with the children, and it's not like, well, it's, you know, he's doing the holy work, and I'm staying home busy with the baby. The holier work is taking care of the baby. We're partners with God. We help bring another soul into the world. And until my baby is capable of taking care of himself, I'm there for him. That doesn't feel like a burden. That's not like, oh, I wish I could be somewhere else. That's like the greatest honor in the world. I had everything. I was good before I got married. I was, you know, I was doing great. I had everything. I was, you know, successful. And it wasn't enough. I wanted my husband. I want my children. I yearn for them. So to be with them, that's the holy work. And then if I also have time to pray, God is like, wow, you know, you're taking care of my precious child and you have time to pray to me. Amazing.
Đó là lời chia sẻ của một người phụ nữ Do Thái sống ở New York, đã lui về hậu phương, dành hết thời gian để chăm sóc cho một đàn con, mà vẫn vô cùng hạnh phúc, tràn ngập lòng yêu thương dành cho gia đình và các con nhỏ của mình. Còn trong môi trường công việc, thật không khó để tìm thấy những người phụ nữ Do Thái là chủ doanh nghiệp, là tổng giám đốc của những công ty, những tập đoàn, gánh trên vai mình trọng trách của cả một doanh nghiệp, của cả một cộng đồng nhỏ, nhưng vẫn không ngừng dành ưu tiên cho gia đình nhỏ của mình, mà thường là những gia đình có từ 3 đến 5 con. Họ là những người vợ, người mẹ, đầy lòng trách nhiệm, đầy lòng yêu thương và chưa bao giờ chịu dừng bước trước những ước mơ của mình trong con đường sự nghiệp. Trong số này, mình sẽ giới thiệu với các bạn hai người phụ nữ đều là người khởi nghiệp về công nghệ và đều rất thành công với doanh nghiệp của mình. Người đầu tiên là chị Daphne, một người mẹ 5 con và các con đã trưởng thành. Chị là nhà sáng lập của công ty Tipper, một công ty công nghệ phát minh ra loại nhựa tự phân hủy và rất thân thiện với môi trường. Người thứ hai là Miri, người mẹ 3 con. Chị đã đồng sáng lập ra công ty Six Degree với chồng của mình. Đây là công ty phát minh ra một thiết bị giúp cho những người không có tay vẫn có thể tương tác được với máy tính và vẫn có thể tiếp tục cuộc sống một cách lành lặn, bình thường. Cả hai người phụ nữ này đều coi gia đình là vô cùng quan trọng và đều đặt con cái là ưu tiên bậc nhất. Tuy nhiên, họ vẫn chưa bao giờ dừng lòng quyết tâm và năng lượng để theo đuổi những ước mơ không hề nhỏ của mình để đóng góp cho thế giới.
We live in a world surrounded by plastics, some more visible than others. Every piece of plastic ever made is either incinerated or is still around us, in landfills, in the ocean, and even in our bodies, in the form of microplastics. Recent studies have found microplastics in human blood, in lungs, and in the uteruses for the first time. It is a sobering fact of life that if you continue down the same path, by 2045, everything the global population eats, breathes, and touches will be contaminated with harmful microplastics.
I'm Daphna. I'm the CEO of TIPA, an innovative packaging company dedicated to helping the planet. Join me as I reveal the awful truth about how microplastics are affecting the world we all share, and how we as a company are determined to be part of the solution.
All right, now set your phone down in front of you, put your hands behind your back, now try to open Facebook. Write a quick post. Stuck? Well, you've just gotten a taste of the lives of millions of people worldwide who, for any number of reasons, face this very problem 24/7. Thankfully, Israeli company 6degrees may have come up with a solution, and here with me in the studio is CEO and co-founder of 6degrees, Miri Berger. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited about this. Okay, so this is the Crescent. Tell me about this armband and kind of what 6degrees does with it.
We've basically viewed a problem of a lot of injured soldiers trying to get back to their former life. They've lost use of their hand, and now they're trying to communicate with their surroundings, their friends, their go back to work, go back to school. So we've developed a crescent armband that translates your arm motion, any motion you have, whether it's limited or full, into control over your smart device, just as you can see on the screen.
The journey, your journey from the day you graduated from high school and you joined the army, and what happened after that?
Yeah, so in Israel, everybody goes into the army when they're 18. Girls serve 2 years, guys serve three at a minimum. That's if you don't go to, become an officer or choose to have a career in the army. Then I did my army service, then looked for what I want to study. So I started out with computer animation and plastics engineering. Through that, I understood I want to deal with products. So I went to do my undergrad in Bezalel in Jerusalem for ceramics design and glass blowing. And that really took me around the world. That gave me a year of exchange in Australia. And when I completed my degree, I decided I'm really interested in stone carving and masonry work. So I met this master stonemason, worked half of the week doing physical masonry, like chipping away at the stone, and half the week using water jets or computerized tools to cut stone and glass. For architectural projects, for architects around Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. The mason I worked with knew my parents and said, I have to do another degree because I come from a multi-degree family, you know, doctors and so on. And so he pushed me to do my master's degree in the U.S. Yeah. I chose to go to Pratt University for industrial design. That also took me around the world. I ended up doing a course in Denmark, which took me around Sweden and Norway as well, looking at furniture design. Industrial design got me to look at different methods like welding and manufacturing, again, for plastics, but other things as well, and more on the product and branding and user experience side of it. I finished that and got offered to run a small design consultancy, the design part of it in Brooklyn, taking products from concept to manufacturing. As I said, I did this in parallel to Arye, my husband, doing his degree in electrical engineering, his master's. And he was running the innovation lab. He had already been a CTO in two startups that came out of the university, one on medical focus and one in the rapid manufacturing side, the rapid prototyping. So basically a device that could 3D print a board on any material. It was early days of that. And we got more interested in that world. There's an excellent business school for NYU, so they had all these competitions open. We got to learn about what it means to be a startup and how you get an idea to a company, early company. And so we knew that we wanted to make a product that has social impact and is a for-profit business. We couldn't find the right model in New York or in Boston to do that. Everybody in the U.S. really kind of pushed us towards nonprofit, which we knew we that wasn't sustainable for our for what we aimed to accomplish. And so we went to Israel, and there was a course in Beit Izzi Shapiro, which is a rehabilitation center for an education center, a life center for children with disabilities, mostly cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. but other ones as well. Mm-hmm. And there they were speaking about a for-profit business mm-hmm. with an impact model, ESG, and you know, and all these terms came out of Europe of goals that people want to accomplish, and transparency and equality. When you start building those businesses, again, it was for us, it was a little early in terminology, but we knew it was here in Israel that you could build that. So we decided to come back with our two kids that were born in the U.S. and two pieces of luggage. We literally landed and started a company before we had anything. and we started running. We got into Mass Challenge in Jerusalem, which is a... which is a nonprofit, but it also offered funding for companies going through it. We won the Gold Award in Mass Challenge. Our prize was to go back to New York and Boston and meet all these amazing companies and go into Harvard and MIT and learn, you know, different case studies and solutions and technology, which was really exciting. We were on our way.
Such a journey.
So I actually, by profession, I'm a software engineer.
Oh.
So that's what I studied at high school, and then in university, my bachelor's degree is in computer science and economics. Mm-hmm. So in Israel, you know, men and women serve in the army.
Yeah.
So after high school, I joined the army and went to... joined a kind of a prestige program in the software area in the army. So I served the army and then I joined the Navy. I served the army 6 years. And then when I left, you know, I still worked in the software industry for several years. And after a few years, I wanted to change my career. Mm-hmm. So I joined a research center on risk management in capital markets. In the biggest private university here in Israel. So I managed a research center for several years. And then again, I wanted to do something different. And I had a few ideas in my mind. And one of the ideas that actually started with a discussion that I had with one of my children was around the plastic packages that we use, plastic bottles, whatever we use every day. And then there was the trigger to the innovation and to initiate TIPA, the company. And that's it. I'm here since then. So
so I know that you have a beautiful family of five children.
Right.
Yeah. So when did they come into your life?
In my life, into my life?
What stage of your career?
Yeah. So there was a kind of a conflict because, you know, you want to continue with the career, but then you know that you have to start a family at a certain point as well. You want to start a family. Mm-hmm. I wanted children from forever. My first child was born after I left the army. Okay, after I left the army, before starting my first position here in Israel. So I was pretty young. And then And then I saw that, you know, you can have a child and nothing happens. Your life continues. And you just need to want to continue developing your career. But mm-hmm. if you want, it's not the same as with no children, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, it demands, but we can do both. Mm-hmm. Plus, I have to say that the system in Israel is kind of supportive in this sense, mm-hmm. because there are kindergartens from age of 3 months, if you mm-hmm. want to send your child. Mm-hmm. There are afternoon programs, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So there is a way to develop a career mm-hmm. and a family. Mm-hmm. Plus, in many cases in Israel, I don't know how is it in Vietnam, but you don't have a choice. You have to go to work if you want to mm-hmm. support your family. Mm-hmm. So there are no many choices. You have to. But I wanted to develop my career, and I wanted to have a big family. I wanted both.
And how do you handle that, especially you have 5 children
yeah.
and a very demanding career? You yeah. didn't stop as
didn't
somebody,
stop.
You know, working for day job.
Yeah.
You started a company with a passion to change the world,
right?
Which definitely will consume so much of you.
Yeah. I, as you said, I worked every day in my life. Mm. Since I started there, they actually... after high school. So I joined in the army and worked over all those years and found a way to do it. How do I do it? I prioritize my time. So I always had help. So I decided to focus my time, first of all, on my children and then developing my career. And all the other stuff, I let other people do. Okay, housekeeping, things like that. Yeah. I work hard, and I pay all my salary to people who can support the system around the family and around the house, and you know all the logistics, etc. Plus, I have support for my husband, mm-hmm. who is also a career person.
Yeah,
even more than I. we can manage. I mean, there is a way.
So I bet in your startup life there will be moments that you feel you're overloaded.
All the time.
So much work.
Roller coaster.
You feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So at those moments, do you ever thought that you would give up something for the other? For example, if I can't handle it, I'll let go of my business so that I make sure I can take care of the kids, or how do you handle
it? Was never plans? Either or. You just do it like, I don't know, just now we're planning a trip for business, mm-hmm. for a conference we need to be in, but we both have to go again. So we're bringing the kids and the babysitter couldn't come this time. So we just see what the options are. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a structure for the kids. Maybe there's family around. Maybe like there's always another option. There's never one plan. Mm-hmm. And then if that plan fails, it's finished. Mm-hmm. You just make it happen, I guess. You think if you are open to the possibility that there's a possibility, yeah, that there's a solution, you'll find it.
If you are open to the possibility that there is a possibility, you will find it. Nếu như các bạn đủ cởi mở để nghĩ rằng biết đâu mình sẽ tìm ra cách giải quyết, thì các bạn sẽ tìm ra cách giải quyết. Chính những câu nói này của Miri và Daphne làm cho mình rất thấm. Cả hai người phụ nữ này đều biết đối diện với họ là rất nhiều thử thách, không chỉ là công việc mà còn là áp lực gia đình và gánh nặng con cái là một áp lực có thật. Nhưng thay vì đối với những người phụ nữ khác, họ sẽ quyết định chọn một trong hai. Còn hai người phụ nữ Israel này thì không, họ chọn cả hai và họ sẽ dành hết lòng quyết tâm cũng như năng lượng của họ để theo đuổi cả hai mục tiêu này. Soi lại bản thân mình, xin thú thật với các bạn là mình đã có rất nhiều thời điểm trong cuộc sống mình đã không dám dấn thân để lựa chọn cả hai. Không phải vì mình không làm được cả hai, mà là vì mình sợ mình sẽ không thực hiện được nó. Mỗi khi đứng trước một thử thách, mình luôn luôn có một cái lo lắng rằng nếu như mình mở thêm một công ty, mình đảm nhiệm thêm một vai trò lãnh đạo trong một công ty nào đó, thì sẽ có lúc nào đó mình sẽ sao nhãng việc chăm sóc gia đình, sẽ không có đó cho con cái của mình. Chính nỗi sợ này làm cho mình chùn bước và mình không dám theo đuổi những cái ước mơ của riêng mình. Mỗi khi gặp gỡ những người phụ nữ Israel như thế này, có 3 con, 5 con và sẵn sàng dấn thân, dốc toàn tâm toàn ý vào cả gia đình và sự nghiệp của mình. Họ là một tấm gương sáng, làm cho mình có thêm một nguồn động lực. Mình hy vọng rằng những câu chuyện này sẽ giúp cho các bạn nữ ở Việt Nam có được lòng can đảm và lòng quyết tâm hướng tới một tương lai mà các bạn không phải lựa chọn giữa sự nghiệp và gia đình. Hy vọng rằng các bạn sẽ luôn tìm thấy một cái nguồn cảm hứng vô tận từ những người phụ nữ mà mình kể cho các bạn nghe trong câu chuyện ngày hôm nay. Mình dành cho Daphne và Miri một câu hỏi. Một ngày làm việc bình thường của các chị sẽ như thế nào?
Tell me a typical day for you. A work day, a typical work day. Don't talk about weekends. So, yeah. What time do you get up, and how much? What do you do? What is the time for the family? What is the time for the work?
Yeah. So, first of all, today I work. You know, almost like I would say every hour that I don't sleep. So it can be like 16, 19 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I always deal with my work. Mm-hmm. Not. I try to find time for the family, mm-hmm. Specifically in the evenings, mm-hmm. and then I continue working. So I'm fully devoted to what I do mm-hmm. here. And with the family, you know, now my children are more grown up, but when they are very young children, I used to wake up early, mm-hmm. work out. Mm-hmm. I like to jog, so I went out jogging. Let's say at 6 o'clock in the morning or stuff like that. Come back home, send the kids to school, go to work until 4-5 p.m. Come back home, be with the children for a few hours, and then continue working once they went to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I ask where is the payment? I mean, something you miss, right? If you yeah. do that. So yeah, you have to pay with, you know, there's no much time for fun, mm-hmm. for going out, for mm-hmm. hanging out with the friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But because I enjoy my mm-hmm. what I do, I enjoy the family and I enjoy my work, it's fine.
So it's a great question, and it depends when you ask it. Because for example, it's a constantly evolving schedule. And I feel like today we have way more structure than we did when we were in school, for example. But I'll give you what's been going on for the last month, more or less. We wake up at 6, make food for the kids for day camp because it's vacation time. We wake them up, get them dressed, make sure the bags are ready. They eat breakfast, get everybody in the car. Drop the one-year-old at daycare, drop the two older ones for camp, go here to work. We work until we're home between 7 and 9, but I say typically, it's never typical.
Pick up the kids. Has there ever been a time that you feel guilty that you were not able to be there for your children?
So, I grew up with two working parents. They both ran departments in the hospitals, and they were always working. My mother spent longer hours than my father, and they always saw that support at home. Not necessarily the same way my husband grew up, but that's what I experienced. And for me, and she got to be in all of my shows and help me with homework in the weekends. And when I needed something, she was there. Even if it's the nurse in the operating room answering the phone, I knew that I can get my mom during the day. So so I guess I never saw that as a problem growing up. And so I don't... The only guilt I felt was when... a lot of people started commenting that we spent a lot of time at work, but as I said, I'm used to both parents spending a lot of time at work and making it work. Yeah. So
let's go back to the time that you consider starting TIPA. Were you scared when you started, you will not have the choice of dedicating the time to the children?
Yeah.
And how do you overcome that fear? Because I believe that fear is the biggest problem rather than the problem itself.
Yes. So there is a fear and there is a problem. I'm not saying young children, maybe they want the mother to be with them a full day, maybe. And there was a huge fear, but, you know, I always say to myself this. First of all, it's valuable for the children to see that the mom is doing significant things with her life. I think it's a very, it's role modeling, and it's important for children to understand that you don't need to devote your life just for one thing. It's fine to do more than that, and it's fine to have significant value in your life, to society, to the economic system, whatever you choose to do in your life. So that's one thing that I'm sure, and I see it today when my children grew up. And they very much value what I did in my life. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, I lived for a period of time in North America, and I saw women that devoted their lives to raise children. And when children left home, they found themselves with nothing significant in their life, meaningful. And I didn't want to find myself in this position. I think every person needs to have a good cause and reason in their life beside family. So I think it's valuable for the family to see that the mother is doing something significant in life, and it's good for you. And I knew for myself, I knew that if I'll be 24 hours home with children, I get crazy. They will not benefit from that. The children will not benefit from that. Once a smart woman told me, having a nervous mom at home is worse than going out to work.
I think I learned something there. I feel like in Jewish culture in Israel, kids grow up knowing that they are loved by their family, but they're not the only thing. They have to share with their siblings. They know that they are part of a bigger community. That's why the community bonds here in Israel is very strong. And now I learned that it's the same thing between the kids to mommy. So mommy loves them, but they're not the only thing that mommy has to care about.
Plus, what I do is for them.
Yeah.
I always tell you, who is going to pay for your, toys, studies, etc. Who's going to pay for it? I want to give you the best life I can. So I need to work for that.
Tell me about your husband or the family around you. Let's say if at one point one of your kids are sick, he and you are planning to go on a business trip. Who would stay?
There was a. Sometimes we need to choose to make choices. If I'm needed, kids come before work. If it's crucial. If it's just a fever or a flu, it's one thing. But if it's something more significant, of course, family comes before. And then I choose to stay. We share. I had to give up more in Korea, but that's fine. I recognize that a mother is a mother at the end of the day. And plus, we had supportive family. We have supportive family, my parents, my husband's parents. So we managed to go through those hard times. As I said, all in all, in life it's priorities. What do you prioritize all, right? And sometimes the business, I say no to the business. Sometimes I say no to the kids.
You have to consider the importance of family come up when you started TIPA. So when you started TIPA, did your husband ask you seriously, are you going to be able to handle children and TIPA at the same time? Did he ask you that question?
No. Not at TIPA. At the beginning of the career, it was kind of a debate who is going to invest more in
career.
He or me in our career. And we mutually decided that he will do that. He's a very smart person, and I, I knew he's going to do very well, so we decided to focus on him. But I did work at the same time. But when I started TIPA, no, he said, "I'm behind you. I'll help you with whatever you need. Mm-hmm. Go and do that."
Mm-hmm. How about the families around you? His family and your family. How about the grandparents? Are they supportive of you having a strong career like this?
Yes, they are supportive. You know, it's not it's not obvious because our mothers, you know, didn't have such even opportunity to have such a career. Mm-hmm. You know, going years back, it wasn't normal that women will develop, you know, mm-hmm. such similar careers. Mm-hmm. But when I started and they saw my enthusiasm and my passion. And you know, I can juggle. They know I can juggle. Mm-hmm. It's part of the abilities that you develop in life mm-hmm. to juggle. So they supported. I got support. They came to help mm-hmm. with the children when we needed, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I made sure, you know, with the first child, you really need your parents. Mm-hmm. Second child, the same. But once you have more children, there's a system that supports you. So the nanny, the two nannies, and there's the cleaning lady, and et cetera, et cetera. So there is a system to support mm-hmm. two mm-hmm. careers at one house and big family.
Wow. No, okay. So I had a friend who her mom was stay at home, but she used to work at a bank. And I remember knowing that she used to work at a bank, but she decided to retire and take care of her kids at home because she felt that's what she wanted to do. But it was a choice. Like, it wasn't, you know...
Yeah, like the pressure from anybody.
Yeah, or somebody, went to do certain education because they thought that's what they wanted to do, and then they had kids, and then they decided to stay at home. But it was a choice, again.
So, for that friend... Do you ever feel that she has more time from her mom, so she's more lucky than you?
No.
Why not?
I was taught not to compare.
Uh-huh. That's a great thing, yeah.
I never look at, you know, I was taught to be happy with what I have and not think, you know, this person has more things or more time. It's just you have to reflect on and be thankful on what you get, I guess.
So I learned to appreciate first of all hard work, second that we need to be able to support ourselves, never rely on other people. As a woman, it was very important to me. I saw my mother and her sisters, etc. It was very important to me to be independent, not relying on anyone. Thanks God I have a wonderful husband, but if I hadn't, I could have lived by myself. And that was very important to me. I think that the main thing is what do you believe you can do? I learned about entrepreneurs, but that's not only for entrepreneurs. If you vision yourself doing something and keep that vision alive all the time, you can do it. No one can tell you, and no one can put boundaries on what you want to do. As long as you continue believing that you do that. You know, I ignore restrictions that the society wants to put on you. No.
It's a wonderful story. Thanks so much, Daphna. I think I learned a lot from your story, and I'm sure friends from CEO Lab would learn a lot too.
Sure.
Really appreciate it, Daphna.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story.
Không biết các bạn nữ khác thì như thế nào, chứ còn đối với riêng mình, lực cản lớn nhất trong việc mình không thể quyết tâm dấn thân trong sự nghiệp, đó chính là sự thiếu ủng hộ và thiếu thông cảm của những người thân xung quanh, đặc biệt là những người trong gia đình. Không hẳn là vì mình cần sự giúp đỡ của gia đình mới có thể quán xuyến được giữa công việc và gia đình, mà chính sự thiếu thông cảm làm cho mình cảm thấy là mình có lỗi. Mỗi khi có ai đó mà nói là con lo công việc quá, không có chăm sóc đủ cho con, không có đút cơm cho con thì càng ngày càng ốm. Đó là cách dễ nhất làm cho mình sẽ đầu hàng và chấp nhận thất bại trong sự nghiệp. Thế là mình sẽ bỏ dở công việc chạy đi đút cơm cho con, mà thậm chí việc đút cơm này mình nghĩ là không cần thiết, thậm chí còn không lành mạnh đối với con nhỏ nữa. Những tư tưởng của những người xung quanh trong gia đình sẽ làm cho các con trẻ lại bắt đầu có suy nghĩ là mẹ đã làm không đúng đối với mình, mẹ cần phải có trách nhiệm với mình nhiều hơn nữa, mẹ phải chăm sóc mình nhiều hơn nữa. Những lời nói trách móc của con nhỏ luôn luôn có sức công phá lớn nhất dành cho những người mẹ, làm cho người phụ nữ rất dễ bỏ cuộc trong hành trình theo đuổi sự nghiệp của mình. Daphne đã chia sẻ một điều mà mình rất tâm đắc.
First of all, it's valuable for the children to see that the mom is doing significant things with her life. I think it's a very, it's role modeling, and it's important for children to understand that you don't need to devote your life just for one thing. It's fine to do more than that, and it's fine to have significant value in your life, to society, to the economic system, whatever you choose to do in your life. So that's one thing that I'm sure, and I see it today when my children grew up, and they very much value what I did in my life. So that's one thing.
Có lẽ vì hoàn cảnh lịch sử, cũng có lẽ vì vị trí và vai trò của người phụ nữ trong hệ tư tưởng Do Thái cũng khác, hay vì còn nhiều lý do nào khác mà mình chưa biết hết được. Xã hội Do Thái, mặc dù vẫn coi vai trò làm vợ, làm mẹ là vai trò thiêng liêng nhất, nhưng họ vẫn coi vai trò của người phụ nữ trong nhiều lĩnh vực khác nhau, ví dụ như là làm kinh tế, làm khoa học, thậm chí là tham gia quân đội, vẫn là những hình tượng rất đáng được khuyến khích và ngưỡng mộ. Mình tin rằng sự ủng hộ của cả một hệ thống tư tưởng, một hệ thống xã hội đã giúp cởi bỏ rất nhiều gánh nặng cho người phụ nữ Do Thái, giúp họ có thể vươn lên trở thành những người phụ nữ superwoman mà mỗi khi nhìn vào, mình vô cùng ngưỡng mộ và không ngừng học hỏi. Để khép lại câu chuyện về người phụ nữ Do Thái, mình biết là các bạn nữ sẽ có suy nghĩ, nhưng mà xã hội của mình không như vậy. Cha mẹ, gia đình hai bên đều trách móc mỗi khi mà mình dành toàn tâm toàn ý cho công việc. Con cái cũng buông ra những lời than thở và trách mẹ mỗi khi mẹ dành quá nhiều công sức cho công việc. Mình xin dành cho các bạn một lời của chị Daphne chia sẻ mà mình vô cùng tâm đắc.
If you vision yourself doing something and keep that vision alive all the time, you can do it. No one can tell you, no one can put boundaries on what you want to do. As long as you continue believing that you do that. And, you know, I ignore restrictions that the society wants to put on you. No.
Ai đó đã từng làm startup, từng làm khởi nghiệp, sẽ thấy lời khuyên của chị Daphne vô cùng sâu sắc. Và các bạn nữ cũng vậy, những người tiên phong đi trên con đường chưa mấy ai đi. Chúc cho các bạn sẽ không bao giờ phải lựa chọn giữa sự nghiệp và gia đình. Chúc cho các bạn luôn toàn tâm toàn ý, giữ vững lòng quyết tâm để theo đuổi những ước mơ của cuộc đời mình và đi theo nó đến cùng.